welcome you back once again to Living Truth Ministries. We've been talking quite a bit the last few times we've been together about our good old tongue. Our tongue is used for a lot of things. Keep our lips moist, to lick a stamp, lick an envelope. It's used to taste. It's used to help in our chewing and our swallowing. And it's also used to either build people up, or to tear them down. So there's many things that little thing in our mouth called the tongue can be used for. And it's a daily battle every day that we yield our tongue and our mouth over to the Holy Spirit. Because I've been telling you from day one, what is in your heart is what's going to spew out of your mouth. If you've got love, if you've got compassion, if you've got hatred, you got bitterness, you got contempt, guess what's coming out of your mouth? We have to be on guard all the time, and you or I cannot guard our tongue. We cannot do it unless we have the help of God Almighty and the help of the Holy Spirit to guide us and to help us to control our tongue. And by helping controlling our tongue is by always being a prayerful attitude and always filling our heart with the Word of God. That way, the Holy Spirit has something to use that is in your heart to come out of your mouth and to speak words of wisdom, words of encouragement, and words to uplift, and words that will draw people to God. So we've been talking about victory over the tongue. It tells us to separate ourselves from those who cannot control their tongue. And I gave you a couple of verses, Proverbs 14 and 7. Go from the presence of a foolish man when thou perceivest not in him the lip of knowledge. Learn the power of peaceful words. In Proverbs 15 and 1, the Bible confirms that a soft answer turneth away wrath, but grievous words stir up anger. And it's hard sometimes when someone says something to you hateful or says something to make you mad or make you angry, and all of a sudden your mouth just kicks in way before your brain does, and then you say things and you say words that you can never take back. That is why always we have to guard our tongue with the help of the Holy Spirit. And we need to recognize our tongue as a weapon. Over in Revelation 12 and 11, and they overcame him, which is Satan, by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. So in summary, we need to keep these simple things in the front part of our mind. We always need to get and keep our heart right with God. We need to recognize our responsibility to control our tongue. Keep your words few and simple. Realize your words reflect on the gospel. A lot of you may not realize that, but people look at you. You'll say certain things or talk certain ways or tell a joke or something and people thought, hey, I thought you were a Christian. So, this next thing, it says, think before you speak. Separate yourself from those who cannot control their tongue. Learn the power of peaceful words. Recognize your tongue is a weapon. And like I said, the only way we can do that is by turning and yielding our tongue over to the Holy Spirit. Today, I kind of like to talk to you a little bit about dealing with an evil report. How does evil report come? Through the tongue. It says the 10 spies gave an evil report, resulting in Israel returning to the wilderness. If you remember, the Israelites were set free from Egypt, and then they were supposed to go in and claim the promises of Israel that God promised them. And they sent 10 spies over, and they came back, and all of them said, oh man, there's giants and over there. Well, they listened to the evil report, and they turned back into the wilderness. And now here is how we can recognize an evil report and discern the motive behind it and stop it when you are confronted by it. How to recognize an evil report. 1. It will raise questions about the motives or actions of others. It will discredit spiritual leadership. It will cause division and strife. It always focuses on the negative. How many people we've been around where every time they open their mouth, that's all that comes out is negative stuff. The person will create curiosity. This is a good one. They may say to you, "You won't believe what I heard." How many times have we been in an audience or around our friends or around people? And that's what they come up with. And of course, most people, when they say stuff like that, it piques your curiosity. They will claim to have access to inside information. They may disguise it as a request for counsel. "Hey, I need your opinion on this matter." An evil report can come in the form of a prayer request which shares gossip as it is given. They request prayer, but then they divulge personal information to make the other person look bad or whatever on their prayer request. They use that to make an evil report. An evil report is often shared as a concern. The person says, "I am deeply concerned about this." Discerning motives for an evil report. Pride. And boy, do we all got pride. Pride is to exalt itself. A person puts down someone else because of pride. And how many times have we dealt with that? And we may have been guilty of doing that ourselves without really realizing what we were doing. Envy. Another good one. People secretly desire what others have, so they criticize them. Guilt is a person transfers his guilt to others by pointing out the other person's fault. How many times have we dealt with that? It might happen to us even. And then there's bitterness. A person has been hurt, so they hurt others with their words. Rebellion. Read the story of a rebellious Absalom in 2 Samuel chapter 15. And that's a good story. That'll kind of open your eyes on how things can get started. And if you remember, Absalom was David's son. One way to recognize a rebellious motive is by statements similar to those made by Absalom. "If I were the leader, I would," and fill in the blank. Stopping an evil report, ask the person giving the report the following question. "Why are you telling me this? Where did you get this information?" A person giving an evil report usually will not want to tell of their source. Have you gone to the person you are talking about according to the principles in Matthew chapter 18, verse 15 through 17, which says, "If your brother sins against you and you tell him his fault between you and him alone, if he listens to you, you have gained a brother. But if he does not listen, take one or two others along with you, that every charge may be established by the evidence of two or three witnesses. If he refuses to listen to them, tell it to the church. And if he refuses to listen even to the church, let him be to you as a Gentile or a tax collector." Have you checked the facts, or are you just repeating what you heard? "Can I quote you when I check out the facts?" That's a good thing to ask. "Can I quote you when I check out the facts that you're telling?" Do you think this qualifies as the things upon which we are to focus according to Philippians 4 and 8? And Philippians 4 and 8 says, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about those things. That pretty much sums it up right there. Or you may simply say, I really do not want to hear this. But like I said, they'll come at you with key words, key phrases, and they want to pique your curiosity. And most people, they want to hear God. Why are we built like that? I don't know. But a lot of us are. A lot of us are guilty of hearing the gossip and then spreading the gossip. And sometimes we never check our facts. We just hearsay and we spread it. We need to always guard our tongue. We need to always yield our tongue to the Holy Spirit. And we need to constantly fill our heart with the Word of God. That way what is in our heart will come out and be an edification to you and an edification unto the Lord. So every day we need to pray and trust God and ask God to have the Holy Spirit to guard and to help us control our tongue. Let's have a word of prayer. O blessed Heavenly Father, what an honor and a privilege it is to come before your throne in the wonderful name of Jesus. Father, I thank you for this time we had together. And Father, I pray that you will anoint this teaching, that you will anoint this word, that Father, not from what I say, but what you say through me, that will touch people and help people and to realize that they need to guard and to watch our tongues. Father, help us to fill our heart with your word, fill our heart with your love and your understanding, that Father, that when we do open our mouth to speak, what is in our heart, planted by the Holy Spirit and by your word, will come out and to edify and to build and to help other people and to lead them to you, I pray. Touch each and everyone that is listening to this, I pray, and anoint them and open their mind that they'll be able to understand and to realize that we need to constantly be on guard of what we hear and what we say. And I thank you for that in the wonderful name of Jesus. And I will never, ever fail to honor you and to glorify you this. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
We hope you enjoyed studying Divine Destiny with us. Join us next week as Paul continues his teaching on Divine Destiny. Harvest Time International Institute and Living Truth Bible College furnished all material. You can find helpful material like this and more by going to www.myltbc.org. Again, that's myltbc.org. We want to hear from you if you enjoy Paul's teaching today. You can email Paul directly at paul@myltbc.org. Again, that's paul@myltbc.org. You can also download Paul's Divine Destiny audios free by going to www.myltbc.org and click on Audio Listen or Download. This broadcast is brought to you by Living Truth Ministries.